It's the High Cooking Corner on 101.9 Chai FM.
Hi and good morning and welcome to the Cooking Corner. I'm Sharon Lurie, the Kosher Butcher's wife, and I'm so excited to be in our new studio. It's beautiful. The sound system works. Everything's great. It's, you know what it reminds me of? When you go away and you've got to move out of a place and you come back, and everything's been packed up and unpacked in your new place, and you just walk in and you go, wow, just look at this. And I didn't have to do a thing. Anyway, you know, I've been away, as most of you have known, because of the repeat programs, and went across to America for my grandnephew's bris and some other business matters and whatever. And so I'm going to be sharing a couple of recipes that to start off with. I went to Atlanta, the Big Peach, where my brother-in-law lives, and stayed with him and his wife for a few days. And I have never eaten food like this in my life. The best steak I've ever eaten in my life. And he shared some of his secrets with me. So I'll be sharing them with you. And, of course, I have eaten a few steaks in my life, as you know. But this one, I think, cost him 375, nearly 400 rand for a one-inch steak. But it was marbled to perfection. I think if we had to serve those steaks in South Africa, people would send them back and say, no, they're far too fatty. But that is part of the secret, that marbled steak. Anyway, so we'll more about that after the break coming up. And then, of course, I went across to New York. And just to detour a little bit, I have to tell you about, just fast forward a couple of days to Amsterdam Burgers in New York. Now, that is owned by ex-South African Martin Katz. And I think he had the Grill House. Brother Joel was involved in something in steakhouses here in Joburg. I remember his late dad. He used to sing in the choir. And I remember Sylvia. I think she's gone to live in Australia. And they had the Sands Hotel in Berea for all of those who used to live there. When we first came up from Durban, everybody went to the Sands. And I have never had such an outstanding burger. Actually, I have, but you know when you save every bite of the burger, not only because of that rand dollars are so high, but because it's just so delicious and you don't want the moment to end. And you find yourself saying, oh, I've got to have that experience again. Well, this coarse ground burger with mushrooms and caramelized onions saved my day at least three times, I think we went there. Gorgeous. Oh, with capers, garlic dressing. And it was delicious. Obviously not quite as delicious as the Berg & Bruin Glen Hazel or the Nussbaum Smash Burger, but they said that they'll try and work it out. You know, South Africa's still got a lot to teach them. But all jokes aside, everything is, I have to admit, everything is bigger and better in New York. And the options available, and sort of every street corner, there's somewhere kosher for us to eat. I have to tell you about another place that we went to. It's called Italy. It is an Italian eatery. But you can still go there because you can buy some pasta. But you've got to go. You've just got to go and look at this place. I mean, imagine, okay, a soccer field is, what, about, I don't know, 7,000 square meters. This is 50,000 square meters just of food, just Italian food. Every kind of Italian pasta, sauce, ice cream, you name it, it was there. It was incredible just to walk, just to go and see it as an experience. There's a butchery in there. There's a fish place. There's a cheese section. There's a wine section with all the different Italian wines. It was just incredible. But I think we're going to go back to Atlanta after the break, and I'm going to be sharing all those delicious recipes that we ate on Fool's Wooden Deck.
An army marches on its stomach, and so does a community. Join Sharon Lurie Tuesdays at 11 a.m. for the Chai FM Cooking Corner. Come hungry.
Okay, so now we're going back to Atlanta, where I have to share some of the most incredible recipes. In fact, to watch my brother-in-law cooking, and he is so passionate about cooking, is an experience. He actually puts on a performance for you. He does a show, and he sort of like brings everything out and gets involved and talks to you like he's the maitre d' of a restaurant. And it's too beautiful. But one thing that I've been craving since I left there, and I've got to make them soon, are his peri-peri chicken wings. So it was one of those moments, you know, those recipes where I was trying to watch him. How does he make this? What does he do with it? And it was like making knedlach, you know, a bit of this, a bit of that. But so good. Oh, so good. So let me give you the recipe. I'm calling these recipes the Dinner on Phil's Deck recipes. And these are his chicken wings with peri-peri sauce. So I use the Nussbaum's chicken wings that are on the double Sassati sticks. When you phone and order them, you ask for the chicken wings on the Sassati sticks. And all he did was he took two red peppers, one red onion, a half a cup of oil, 6 cloves of garlic, the juice and zest of 1 lemon, 1 teaspoon paprika, 1 teaspoon dried oregano, 8 small hot red chilies, salt and black pepper. Then what you do is you chop up the peppers and the onions and you fry them in half a cup of oil. You add the garlic, lemon juice and lemon zest, the oregano, the paprika, the chilies, the salt, pepper, red wine, and bay leaves. And you just let it cook and get all the vegetables soften, whatever, remove the two bay leaves, and then you blend it until it's smooth. Now, if you want to, this was a little secret he gave us, you can roast the red peppers and roast the onion in the oven to give it that sort of charred, smoky taste if you want to. So you can do that. And then, so once we've done that, we've removed the bay leaves and we just blend it all together. And then you just paint it over the wings and you brown or fry them. Reheat the sauce if you want to and then just paint it over before finally serving. Now, they're absolutely delicious when they are served with, as they call it in America, ranch dressing. So we call it ranch. Okay. So what happened was I was actually at Amsterdam Burgers and we had ranch dressing with, it was fried crispy baby marrow. And obviously it was very difficult for them to make it because ranch dressing should have buttermilk in it. But I did come home and I did play a lot with this recipe myself. Obviously, they wouldn't give me the recipe. So I'm going to give you my version, which is quite simple, for ranch dressing, stroke ranch dressing, which would prove to be a real winner. This is all you need. 2 cups of mayonnaise, 1 teaspoon dried mustard, 1 tablespoon of nutritional yeast. Now, what is nutritional yeast? It's not yeast that we use for making bread. You can get it at Dis-Chem all over or at a health shop. Nutritional yeast is something that they use in a lot of sauces, and vegans use it a lot. to give it a cheesy kind of flavor. In fact, my sister-in-law, who's vegan, puts a tablespoon, sprinkles a tablespoon onto almost every meal, and it gives it a lovely sort of cheesy kind of taste. So it's the 2 cups of mayonnaise, 1 teaspoon dried mustard, 1 tablespoon of nutritional yeast, not the regular yeast that you use. This is from a health shop. 1 teaspoon of honey, 1/4 cup of white vinegar, 2 tablespoons lemon juice, 1 teaspoon of garlic powder. Now, you can use a clove of garlic if you prefer. If you prefer it fresh, it's just easier with the garlic powder. 1 teaspoon of dried oregano, a little bit of black pepper, and 1/2 teaspoon of dried dill. And you just combine it all together, put it into a glass or plastic container, stir it well until it's nice and smooth, and just keep it refrigerated and tightly covered for about 2 weeks. And it's delicious, actually, with crudité. So you cut up some fresh vegetables, some fresh cucumbers and carrots and whatever, and serve it with this ranch dressing. Now, you can add a little bit, you know, a little more nutritional yeast, but go easy on it first until your palate gets an idea of what it tastes like. Okay, so that was the ranch dressing. And while on the subject of chicken, I have to give a quick harissa chicken recipe that a friend made for us while we were there. And then, of course, I'm going to go on to the sizzling steak. But just while we're on to while we're talking about chicken, we need 8 to 10 chicken thighs, okay, off the bone. Salt and pepper, and 2 tablespoons of harissa paste. Now, you can get, I think it's made by Spice or one of those. It's in like a little red box, and it's called harissa paste, and you'll find it next to all the spices and sauces and things. It's in a little red box. Or what you can do is you can get a tablespoon of harissa spice. You can get it from Woolworths as well, the actual dried spice, and just mix it with 2 tablespoons of oil. You'll also need 1 tablespoon or 2 of fresh lemon juice. And very important, I know some people think, meh, I won't add that, but it just takes it to another level when you add 2 tablespoons of finely chopped fresh mint. And you just combine all that together. Put your chicken thighs into a Ziploc bag and pour the sauce over it, the harissa paste, and just smush it all around so that each little thigh schnitzel is covered with the paste, and you just leave it to marinate overnight. And then what we did was we served this with a chickpeas salad. I'm being told that I have to go to an ad break, so I'm going to come back with the chickpea salad and the rest of the recipe for the harissa chicken thighs.
An army marches on its stomach, and so does a community. Join Sharon Lurie Tuesdays at 11 a.m. for the Chai FM Cooking Corner. Come hungry.
Welcome back to the show. This is a Cooking Corner, and I'm Sharon Lurie, the Kosher Butcher's wife, and we're talking recipes from my recent trip overseas, and we were talking harissa spiced chicken schnitzel, which we can serve in many different ways, but I'm going to be serving it in butter lettuce with a chickpea salad, for want of a better word. So we've done the harissa spiced chicken thighs, and they're sitting in the Ziploc bag overnight. And while they're sitting and marinating overnight, we're going to drain 1 tin of chickpeas, and we're going to marinate that also overnight in the juice of 1 lemon, 2 spring onions chopped, 1 handful of chopped mint, 4 tablespoons of olive oil, salt and pepper, And then the next day, we'll obviously wash our butter lettuce well because we're going to wrap our chicken in it. So what we do is we fry, braai, or bake, roast, whatever you want to do with the chicken thighs. And I slice them up afterwards. I fry them whole, so it keeps the juice and the moisture in. And then I slice them up into small sort of bite-sized pieces. And then what you do is take the butter lettuce, take a leaf of nicely washed butter lettuce, and just put in a little bit of your chickpea and onion and mint, which has been marinating overnight. Put a couple of slices of chicken over it and just wrap it up. And there you have a wonderful gluten-free harissa chicken wrap, which is wonderful for kids to take to school. If you're on diet, it's another protein-packed, delicious meal. So those are two chicken dishes that you can try, the harissa chicken and the peri-peri chicken wings. And now we are on to the seared ribeye steak. Of course, we have to remember that it's the sizzle in the steak that just makes it so well and so delicious. Now, this is not a science lesson. I'm not going to bore you with all the details. But the aroma given off by some foods, okay, can have a tremendous effect on us, as we know. The scent, the colors that make food look good and tasty and so appetizing are the effect, actually, of a group of chemicals called melanoidins. So they form from an extremely complex series of actions, which I said I wasn't going to get into, from amino acids and sugars. And this process is called the Maillard reaction. Okay, now it's spelled Maillard. I've heard a lot of chefs calling it Maillard. Actually, it's a French word and it should be pronounced Maillard. But whatever, however you spell it or however you say it, it's when something turns lovely and brown and you get that beautiful sort of caramelization, you know, when chicken hits the hot grid or fish hits a hot braai or a hot frying pan, just that beautiful reaction which is responsible for the colors and the flavors. And in fact, it's even used in some self-tanning products. So when I say in some of my past recipes and some of my recipe books, I've said, make sure that your meat is well tanned. I wasn't talking nonsense. I wasn't making it up. This is what I'm talking about, this beautiful Maillard reaction. So when you take, let's say, fried onions and you caramelize and they start to turn brown and they get that beautiful smell, which actually, if you're frying onions with your jersey on and your shirt on, stick something over it because, boy, that smell of onions can get into your clothes. And when you go pick up your grandchildren and they say to you, Boba, yo, what have you been cooking? It's those damn onions. Anyway, so that brownness is the Maillard reaction. It's not the brown in like apples when you bite into an apple and then you forget about it and you leave it on the side, or bruised banana. It's not that brown. This is that sizzle, that crispiness on the food that makes it not look pale and milky. So most important thing is that, as Philip says, your grill, your braai, your flat griddle, whatever it is, has to be extremely hot. So sometimes it's a bit difficult, you know, in your kitchen. The whole kitchen gets smoked out. In fact, we did it last night. And everybody that walked into the kitchen was coughing and spluttering. So it's a good thing to possibly do it over a charcoal braai, because that way you can really get your braai nice and hot. Gas braai is also great, but sometimes it's just not hot enough. Okay, now, So what we're going to do is we're going to order our steaks. And what he did was he got me this. It must have been about 1.5 inches thick. So that's what, about 3 centimeters. It was really thick. And he dried the steak really well and made sure that it was ready. He patted it with paper towel, nicely dried, and then he put on a little bit of oil because he believes it's more important to put the oil on the steak rather than in the frying pan, because that it can actually burn the oil and burn the meat. So you put the oil on the steak, adds a little bit of salt. It doesn't matter that it's been cushioned in salt or whatever. Still add a little bit of salt and put a little bit more oil on. Then he added, excuse me, a rub. Now, he doesn't like marinades anymore. In fact, he's gone off them. He says it's the meat that we want to taste. And funnily enough, when we were at Amsterdam Burger, Martin was telling us that they don't do any marinating at all like they used to do in South Africa. It's just the salt and pepper in the meat, and then the sauces are what really give it that, you know, the extra flavor, the mushrooms, the onions, whatever. And they do it on a flat top, griddle or frying pan, whatever it is, but over really high heat so that they can get that golden, crispy kind of look to it. And then what he did was he puts it onto, back to Atlanta, to Philip, who's doing my steak for me, puts the rub on, which is a teaspoon of garlic powder, a teaspoon of mustard powder, a teaspoon of dried coriander. That's optional. You don't have to put coriander. You can actually put like maybe a little bit of cayenne pepper, or a little bit of paprika, and ground black pepper. Quite a bit of ground black pepper. And then he puts a little bit more oil on top of that. And then he cooked it on this high, high heat over coals, because he's a bit like me. He likes to do everything over flames. We like our flame-licked meat, and then he puts it into the oven. The steak he didn't put into the oven, but like his lamb and his roasts and that, starts it off on the braai and then into the oven. And then he's fried it medium rare and for 3 minutes on each side. You sort of watch the side of the steak and you can actually see it turning from red to gray, and you can, you know, gauge from that what it will be like. So it's about 3 to 4 minutes aside, and then he takes it off the braai and he lets it rest so that it can redistribute the juices for 10 minutes, ballooned in tin foil or just covered in tin foil, and it was absolutely superb. But another interesting thing, so I said to him, was it fresh? Did they vacuum pack it for you? He said, no, I bought it frozen and I let it defrost. So often I say to people, get your steaks, get them vacuum packed, leave them in your fridge for about 2 weeks. I don't want to say more, although I do it a little bit more, because some people, you know, sometimes the vacuum pack can blow. Leave it in the bottom of your fridge, and then you can freeze it and you start that whole rotation, you know, 2 weeks of it in the fridge. I mean, you can even wrap it in some muslin and leave it at the bottom of your fridge for about a week so that it's dry aged and not wet aged. And we served it, I think, with a baked potato, and it was absolutely delicious. So there's a secret to full steak, and I just hope that it works for everybody else. And after the break, I'm going to come back with a few recipes for the 9 days, a couple of fish recipes, and a quick ad break.
An army marches on its stomach, and so does a community. Join Sharon Lurie Tuesdays at 11 a.m. for the Chai FM Cooking Corner. Come hungry.
So, as we know, the 9 days are just around the corner. I think we start on Friday. Although we do eat meat on Shabbos, I still wanted to share one or two recipes for the 9 days. This is a planked salmon recipe. Now, we can get these wooden planks. I don't know if you've seen them. They must be about 18 centimeters by about 8 centimeters across. They're these thin planks, and you can actually put fish on them. You can put quite a number of things onto them. But this was the most delicious salmon recipe, cooked on the barbecue, cooked on the braai. And all it is a quarter of a cup of soy sauce, 2 tablespoons of honey, 1 teaspoon fish sauce. Now, if you don't have fish sauce, don't worry, because it's only a teaspoon. Don't go out and buy it just for 1 teaspoon. It still tastes delicious if you don't use fish sauce. 2 teaspoons finely grated ginger, 1/4 cup rice vinegar, 2 teaspoons sesame oil, and 2 tablespoons of chopped fresh cilantro or coriander, and then a side of salmon, or you could do 2 pieces, and you put the skin on the skin side down on the cedar plank, which you need to soak for about 3 to 4 hours in a liquid of your choice. Now, I always thought it had to be water so that the plank doesn't burn, but apparently not. My brother-in-law was telling me, no, you can put it in ginger ale or ginger beer and give it, if you're using ginger in the recipe, then it enhances the flavor. So you can put a little bit of ginger into the water if you want, and then that plank will take on that lovely gingery taste. And then you combine the glaze. So that's the soy sauce, the honey, the fish sauce, the ginger, the vinegar, the oil, and the coriander. Don't put on just yet. You want to put that on, towards the end. You can actually cook it, heat it through if you want to. Not necessary, though. And then you just paint it onto the salmon, and you stick the plank onto the braai, onto the hot coals or gas braai, whatever you're using. Not onto direct heat, but, just onto high heat, though. And if you don't want to use the coals or whatever, you can cook it in the oven, but on very, very high heat. And as I say, you place the salmon skin side down, brush it with the glaze, put it on the cedar plank, put it near the hot spot, and you let that cook for about, you cover it, if you're using your Weber, whatever braai you're using, and you cook it for about 8 to 10 minutes. And then just before the end, you just pour a little bit more of the glaze over the fish, but with this time with the cilantro, the fresh coriander in the sauce. And it's absolutely delicious, and you can serve that with your favorite salad or rice if you prefer to. But you'll actually see it. If you I get a bit nervous. I like my fish cooked all the way through. Some people don't. Some people say to me, no, I mean, you must be a little opaque in the middle. I don't know. I like it cooked all the way through. So what I do is I braai it, and you watch it actually changing color, going from the, not so see-through to not see-through at all, and then that's when you take it off. And remember, when you take it off, that it will still carry on cooking for about a minute or two. So you can serve that with the cucumber and red onion, which is a lovely salad with dill, and I'll give that recipe to you after the song break.
An army marches on its stomach, and so does a community. Join Sharon Lurie Tuesdays at 11 a.m. for the Chai FM Cooking Corner. Come hungry.
Welcome back to the Cooking Corner. I'm Sharon Lurie, the kosher butcher's wife, and we are talking the Big Peach, which is Atlanta, and the Big Apple, New York, and all the lovely, delicious things that I ate there and tasted and learned to make and had recipes shared with me. You know, it's funny. You go somewhere and somebody says to you, oh, you know, Sharon, you've got to try so-and-so's whatever, and this one's whatever. And so this was one of those, and I can't remember who gave me this recipe, but it was delicious, and I have to share it with you. It was roasted salmon. So I'm talking fish today. Forgive me. I know I normally only talk meat, but today I'm talking fish as well because the 9 days are coming up. Boy, I battle with that 9 days. Anyway, this is roasted salmon with dill cream and rye crumbs. Now, the salmon and dill sauce are absolutely delicious, but what makes this dish truly outstanding are the toasted, seasoned rye breadcrumbs that top the fish, like acting like a sort of savory streusel on top. So what you need is about a third to half a cup of sour cream, a third of a cup of thick, that's Greek-style yogurt. Okay, you'll need about 2 tablespoons of dried dill. I'm not quite sure what the story is with dill at the moment and checking fresh dill. I need to read up on that, but in the meantime, just use the dried one. 2 teaspoons of fresh lemon juice, a pinch of sugar, a little bit of salt and ground black pepper. And then you'll need about 3 slices in all of crumbled rice. So, you know, you never know what to do with those last little bits of rye bread that you have at the end of hot beef on rye. Crumble them up because you're going to make them use them, the fine crumbs, as a topping for the fish. And then you'll need 2 spring onions sliced and chopped, and try and keep the whites away from the green parts, because the green parts we want to use for decorations later, but the white part we're going to cook. And you'll also need a little bit of olive oil, plus about 4 or 5 teaspoons, plus a little bit more to drizzle on at the end. And you'll need 4 skinless, this is just for 4 people, 4 skinless salmon fillets. Okay, and I would say about 250 grams each. So what you do is you position a rack in the center of your oven and you heat the oven. You've got to preheat the oven to the highest it can go. I think it's, what, 500 and 260 centigrade. But anyway, the highest you can go. Not grill, because you want to bake it. So while your oven is heating up, you need, in a small bowl, just whisk together the sour cream and the yogurt, the dill, the lemon juice, and the sugar, and just season it with a little bit of salt and pepper. Set it aside. In fact, just stick it in the fridge. Then you combine the breadcrumbs and the whites of the spring onions. Sprinkle a little bit of salt and pepper over them. And in a little small sort of non-stick frying pan, put a little bit of oil in, and you just cook it over medium heat till it sort of goes crispy and crunchy, you know, like croutons, and just stir it occasionally until the bread and the onions go a little bit brown and the breadcrumbs crisp up. It should take about 10 to 12 minutes. Then you set it aside and you let that cool. And then meanwhile, you lightly oil a baking sheet, and you place the fish on the baking sheet, seasoned with salt, only salt and pepper, and drizzle it with a little bit of olive oil, and you roast it until it's firm and just opaque, and it should take about 5 to 8 minutes, okay, to cook it through, because remember, it is on high heat, but of course, it depends on the thickness, but you know, as I've always said, I like my fish cooked all the way through. And then you take it out the oven and you crumble the crumbs on top, the rye bread crumbs, and you put a dollop of cream, sour cream, and the yogurt, and then you sprinkle it with the greens of the spring onions, and then you can just serve it with a lovely cucumber, fresh red onion. I'm just trying to remember what she served it with. It was, yes, and feta. And then she just put on, sprinkled some salt and pepper, olive oil, and lemon juice, and adjusted it according to her taste. And that was it. And it was the most delicious, delicious meal. And then, of course, not to be outdone, my sister-in-law gave me her recipe for roasted trout with lemon and walnut browned butter. Oh, this was delicious. So you can get the trout at most fish places, and they're normally sold whole, cleaned. I know that you can get them beautifully cleaned and whole. And if you don't find it like that, just ask your fishmonger, please, to cut the fillets and remove the fins, but leave the skin on because you want it to actually get crispy underneath. And this is served with, actually we served it with bok choy. And all it is, I'd say about 8 fillets for 4 people, maybe a little bit more. Half a cup of butter, that's your secret. Finally, a quarter of a cup of finely chopped fresh parsley and 2 tablespoons of fresh tarragon, or you can use a teaspoon and a bit of tarragon, dry tarragon. You'll need a couple of slices of lemons and a half a cup of chopped walnuts. And after the break, I'll come back and tell you how to get it all together.
An army marches on its stomach, and so does a community. Join Sharon Lurie Tuesdays at 11 a.m. for the Chai FM Cooking Corner. Come hungry.
You tuned into the Cooking Corner. Thank you for joining me. It's been wonderful being back in South Africa, and we are talking roasted trout with lemon and walnut browned butter. Okay, so just before the break, I told you what you would need. You'd need trout fillets, black pepper and salt, half a cup of butter, finely chopped parsley, a little bit of tarragon, couple of slices of lemon, and all you do is, and the half a cup of roughly chopped walnuts. And you position a rack in the center of the oven, remember, very high heat, about 500, and you arrange the trout skin side down on a foil-lined rimmed baking sheet. You sprinkle it with salt and a bit of pepper, and you're going to be using the fresh trout. I know sometimes they're difficult to get, and you can get the smoked trout, which you could use, but I wouldn't cook it for as long because, remember, smoked is always cooked. And then you would, in a small little saucepan, melt together the butter and drizzle it over the fillets, and you sprinkle the trout with the parsley and the tarragon, and just arrange a couple of thin slices, like 2 slices of lemon on top of each one, and you roast until the fillets just sort of flake easily when pushed aside with a fork. I would say about 10 to 12 minutes, and then you can pour a little bit more butter when it comes out. But the most important thing is you must toast the walnuts. You can toast them in a fat-free frying pan. You can toast them in the oven separately to the fish, because you really want them to get crunchy, and they won't get that crunchy if there's, you know, when cooked with the liquid of the fish. And then you just take it off with a spatula and serve it. And it's as easy as that with a lovely green salad. Okay, I just have to share quickly a lovely idea. When I went to New York for the Bris, it was terrific. Of course, I had to take moose biscuits with me because they all wanted something different to go with the usual but very delicious New York bagels. And they served New York bagels at at Brisses. Now, how do I know that they were so, that this is what they do at all the Brisses? Because in this one building, I think it's called the Y or something, I can't remember, there were four Brisses at 10:30. I don't know what happened at 11:30 or 12:30 or in the afternoon, but can you imagine four Brisses at one place, just one little building in New York? And they all had beautiful bagels and white fish and smoked salmon and the cream cheese and the egg salad. And just picture this. I mean, there were these beautiful little containers, all glass containers. There must have been about 12. And each one, all the same, each one had a different cream cheese. So you had cream cheese with red and yellow and green peppers. And you had cream cheese and dill, cream cheese and smoked salmon. And I thought, this is such a nice idea for the 9 days. We could actually have a lovely brunch and you could serve beautiful bagels with all these different cream cheeses and different fishes and smoked salmons and asparagus. Oh, it was terrific. And the mole was terrific. In fact, he did something so cute. He actually said, well, guys, I'll see you all in 13 years' time because baby Chaim Yisrael's Bami is going to be on Tuesday, the la 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 of 20 whenever. And, but please God, I'll see you before then in Shul. So it was a lovely, lovely affair. Lots of beautiful fresh fruit cut up. And then we sort of closed everything up in the paper, tablecloths, everything was disposable, and we went and we gave some, you know, we donated a lot of the food to a home in New York City, which was really appreciated. As for decor, not much decor there. I kept saying to them, why don't you get some balloons or something? No, they just had a couple of stargazers in glass mason jars. So that was it. Beautiful bris, beautiful trip, lots of lovely recipes, and it's time for me to wrap up. Next week we have our new presenter who will be sharing 1 week off, 1 week on with me, Adrian Bogarty, and I'm sure she'll be serving sort of more milchic kind of thing, not serving, sharing milchic recipes with you. But hope you enjoyed the show. Thank you for joining me. And remember, it's the eat and meet that makes this show complete.